Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm so happy to see all of you here on this Baptism of Christ and Epiphany Sunday. Thank you for braving the weather and coming out. I'm glad it wasn't quite as bad as we thought that it might be. A couple of announcements. There will be a short congregational meeting directly after worship today, and this will be to elect Steve Hurst to the office of ruling elder. And then I also want to let you know that there will be a deacon meeting on Tuesday at 11. And session meeting on Wednesday at 7. I feel like after all of, like, through December, I've been like, this, and this feels very short to me. Am I missing anything? Yes.
You're not missing this because I don't think
you okay.
But it plays beautifully to what you just said because we're planning to
decorate on
Tuesday at 10.
Okay.
So if you are a deacon coming at 11, you could maybe come at 10 and help us take out the decorations. It would be perfect.
That is so beautiful. It's like we couldn't have planned it better. Okay, so if you would like to unhang the greens, you can come on Tuesday at 10. Okay, I think that's, yeah, everybody. Oh, Carol.
Make sure to check for data 2024.
Oh yeah, don't forget, we're in a new year. It's 2024 now. Well,
unless they're December.
Thankfully, we and Jesus are much more accepting of mistakes than the bank is. But we do have to live with the bank, so. All right. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. May we remember that God created. May we remember that God liberated. May we remember that God fed. May we remember that God is still creating, God is still liberating, God is still feeding us. Let this be our story. Let this be where we begin. Let us worship Holy God. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Sing Praise to You, Sing Praise to God, You Heavens. hear this good news of great joy for all. When Jesus was baptized, God's voice came down from heaven proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins. Holy God, we admit to remembering the wrong things. We remember worldly lessons, like everyone for themselves, an eye for an eye, and all is fair in love and war. Yet we forget to forgive 70 times 7, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to live like the body of Christ. Why is it so hard to remember the right things? Release us from our messal memory and recenter us in this new place, a fresh space grounded in your love. Help us to receive your word anew and to consider stewardship not with the world's rules, but with your rules. Amen. The heavens part. The waters swirl and the dove descends, reminding us that we too are God's beloved children. We are covered by God's grace and forgiven in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Now.
Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Kathy Sagey did want me to lift up a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for all of the love and support you've given her. She has fully moved into her new home, and it's hard because she hasn't lived by herself for a long time, but she's doing well and everything is even keel. Let us pray. Creator God, prayer has never been easy for us. Our mind flutters with news updates and questions of faith, our thoughts like a river that won't stop, like a monkey on a drunken monkey on a leash. So today we take a deep breath. Inhaling your name into the cobwebs of our lungs, willing your presence to wipe away the dust of self-doubt and fear. And with that breath, we ask that you would tell us again. Tell us again how you moved over the waters, how you led them with a pillar of fire, of that still, small voice. And then tell us of the prophets. Tell us of Mary and Joseph and that angel chorus, of the blind man and the leper and the crowds that you healed. Tell us what it was like to walk on water. Tell us of the little children that ran to you. Tell us of the justice you preached. Tell us of the hosannas and the palm branches. Tell us again of the love that changed the world. Tell us again, because we are forgetful people. It's part of our human nature, and that's why we long for this space week after week, so that we might be reminded of who we are and whose we are. So tell us again, for our anxiety is loud, our scarcity is loud, as is our fear, our anger, our shame, our loneliness, and self-doubt. So tell us again. Tell us again of how it all began, of manna in the wilderness and the disciples around the table. Tell us again of your love for this world and how it changed everything. Tell us again so we have the strength to tell others, and give us the strength to remember your story anew. And so, in practice and in faith, we join our voices together to do just that, to remember and to tell, praying together the way your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise. Glorious things of thee are spoken.
Your spoken, Zion.
be seated. So if you've read The Valley, you've noticed that we're doing things different. I know how you love it when I do things different. And we're doing our stewardship campaign this month. And part of that is because we just celebrated the joy of Christ being born and the gifts that the Magi have brought to pay homage to Christ. And it's a time when we're looking forward to, we're remembering the past year, we're thinking about the year ahead and how we want to live our lives for the upcoming year. So in light of that, I have asked some of our church leadership to talk to you a little bit about why they serve and why they give to this church and the greater church. So today we have Elder Paul McComb, who is going to share a little bit with us.
That's what you're sharing.
I'm sorry. I forgot to mention also the 6-time Chili champion.
Thank you. So why I serve? It started with, you hear the phrase, time and talent. I have 2 very active boys, a wife who works about 160 hours a week, so my time is nil. And you all know me, a little short on the talent end as well. But when I joined, I had this perception of session. My aunt was a longtime session member at the church I grew up, and she scared me. And, you know, I had this picture, and it was nothing like that. It's an opportunity for us to come together for the greater good of the church. And I know that may sound a little corny, but that's really what it is. And despite some of the grumblings, I look forward to our session meetings because it's 7 hours with some great people. Okay? For example, I didn't know Sandy before session, and if you know Sandy, she's a force to be reckoned with. If anything happens in this church, she can fix it. And she's just great, and Cheryl, and everybody else that I've had the pleasure of working with. It is a little bit of a time commitment, but it's not all or nothing. There are ways to get involved at a very minimal level. Join a committee. We have some great committees. Worship, nominating, rentals, buildings and grounds, that's where all the cool kids are. And then if you really want to amp up your level of excitement, we have legal and risk. Can't go wrong there. So the point is, it's not the commitment. If the commitment is holding you back, it shouldn't. Time is not a barrier. Talent is not a barrier, okay? We welcome ideas, we welcome new eyes on things, new thoughts, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to serve you, and I'm grateful to work with Kristen. You want to talk about new ideas? Yeah, it's I'm not going to say it's exhausting, but it's a pace that we currently weren't used to. But it's all for the betterment. And you know what? As long as some of our session meetings go, I always feel good at the end. I always feel like we have accomplished something. We are a family. All of us. And like family, sometimes, we agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, we're all in it to serve you, to serve God, and to serve this church. So I hope I didn't scare anybody away. And again, there are minimal ways to participate. You can do a 1-year only membership to session, and deacons. We do have a few slots open, and I'm assuming after today, they're going to be filled pretty quickly. So I would reach out soon and inquire. Just ask. You can contact me anytime and just say, hey, what's it really like? If I wanted to do something with buildings and grounds, what do you need? If I wanted to do something with nominating committee, what can I do? What's that like? Be glad to take you out to coffee or anything like that. So thank you for this time. I hope you give it some thought. And it's very rewarding, to say the least. So thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Paul. Not only for talking to us, but for your service. You're way too modest. You do have talents. Everyone here has talents that I definitely don't have. So thank you. Let us now offer our gifts. Not out of obligation, shame, or guilt, not to feel worthy, not to buy God's grace, but let us offer our gifts and tithes out of a desire to participate as a sign of gratitude because we belong to one another. Let us offer our gifts of love, and that's what love does. Loving God, as you take these gifts, remind us that we belong to one another, that all money narratives are welcome at this table, that whatever shame or guilt we bring will be washed away with your empathy and love. Remind us, and then help us build that more beautiful world. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is Exodus 16, 1 to 18. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness and the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew against the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is this? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer per person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents. The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, there's something about Scripture that stirs us awake, a deep love that made room for everyone at the table, reminds us that we are hungry. Stories of manna raining down in the desert remind us that we are lost. Stir us awake, O God, remind us that this story starts with love and ends with love. We are hungry, we are listening. Amen. Okay, so the scripture reading is probably longer than this sermon. So hopefully that gives you something to look forward to. It was a long time ago. It was probably about 15 years ago or so. For some reason, I can't remember the context, I was at a seminar about poverty and personal finances, and part of this seminar was thinking about our individual money stories. And the first step in writing our stories, we would be in small groups, and we'd talk to each other about it. And the first step was to think about and tell your very first memory about money, like when you were a little kid. And like so many kids today, back then, kids in general, there were a lot of times when I would be at the store and I would want something. Mom, can I have that? I want that. No, I want that. I want that. And my mom would say she didn't have the money. And that was really confusing to me because I had seen her many times write out a check and give it to cashiers in the past. And so I told her, well, okay, so just like write a check. And hopefully we all here today know that that's not how checks work. You have to have the money in the account to be able to write that check. So My parents, I think most of you know by now, my parents were teenagers when I was born. So you might imagine that they didn't have a whole lot of money. It's really only in hindsight that I know that they often had to decide whether they were going to pay the electric bill or the rent. My mom would have to think about whether or not she could take me to the doctor. Most of my clothes were hand-me-downs. I remember distinctly standing in line at a food bank with my mom, and I wasn't privy to the details, but I knew that money was important, and we didn't have enough. And it was only through talking about these experiences in an open and accepting space, talking about them in a very frank way, that I was able to understand my tendency to want to hoard money. I always had this feel, there was always this feeling that I'd never had enough. We all have a money story, and maybe yours is a story of shame, or like mine, of fear. Maybe you feel like your individual actions don't have an impact, so like why even bother? Or that we as a church, as a collective, don't have enough, so we need to hold on to every single penny, just in case. Over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about where God might be speaking a new narrative into the limited ones that we've been telling ourselves. Like I mentioned in the Valley, and before I introduced Paul, we're doing our stewardship campaign. You should have gotten your pledge cards in the mail. If not, coming soon, or see Arlie or myself. We've just celebrated the birth of our Savior Christ. We're in a season of joy and of gratefulness. We're looking ahead to our new year, and that's why we're focusing on stewardship now instead of in November. And I get it. I know it's partly our culture. It's partly a generational thing. Talking about money is uncomfortable. And to be honest, I'm not even fully at ease talking about it right now. But my hope is that by bringing it out into the open, airing it out, we might all be able to just feel a little more comfortable about it. We can reframe the conversation. We can start seeing money for the tool that it is to reframe our conversation, to see it as a tool for bringing about God's kingdom instead of an individual statement about how worthy we are. And we might be able to think about our giving practices as expressions of who we are and what we believe. So, to understand our money stories in light of God's story of liberation and justice, I'll be inviting you to remember, release, reimagine, and restore all of our money stories so we can write one together that God is asking us to live into. So today, we're remembering God's steadfast relationship with us throughout time, throughout trials. And the scripture today takes us back in time to when the Israelites were complaining in the wilderness, but they were met with manna. And it's through stories like this that we can see how even in times of desperation, God provides. So you know that I've lived in the desert, and so whenever I read stories of the Old Testament and of the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness and in the desert, I think back to some of my hiking trails and places like that from New Mexico. And you might imagine that the desert can be troubling. You don't just find these random flowing streams like you do in Pittsburgh, where there just seems to be water everywhere. The plants and the animals that are around you in the desert, there are plants, there are animals, but they're few and far between. A lot of them will kill you, and they're also like very tough. Like they're tough to get into, like scorpions, not a lot of reward for what you find in there. Also, if you find a pregnant one, you're gonna get scorpions flying all over the place. Survival in the desert is precarious. And the wilderness that the Israelites find them in is so much different than Egypt. In Egypt, they had bread. They had meat. Beverages galore. They were sheltered from the elements in permanent homes. They didn't have to worry about their day-to-day survival. There is one little thing they're forgetting about Egypt, though. You know how they were slaves there? They were literal slaves. They were under oppression. How much abuse and persecution that they endured there. And the Israelites are complaining because they have immediate needs. And those needs are legitimate, but those immediate needs are overriding their long-term hopes for freedom and overall well-being. And in their desperation and fear, the Israelites are considering a very poor trade by going back to Egypt. Interestingly, the people are not reprimanded for their concerns. God doesn't tell them to repent for their anxiety. God understands their need for physical sustenance, that's a legitimate concern. And God provides them an immediate response. God doesn't make them sit through a long worship service telling them how they're responsible for their own circumstances or how they need to turn their lives around. God responds to the concrete problem of hungry people and provides bread from the morning dew and quail in the evening. Having their physical needs met, the people are then able to see God. Now, lest we think that anybody here is getting something for free, God does place a bit of a caveat. The people can only gather what is needed for that day. No stockpiling. And in this way, no one is getting too much. No one has too little. The Israelites they're moving from an economy of fear, of desperation, of wanting to move, to hold on to everything. And they're moving to an economy of provision. God here provides us with a concept of what enough looks like. The gathering of manna is a model for the right distribution of food. It's a template for a covenant community, And it's a template for a community that's trustfully organized around God's unfailing generosity. Jesus replicates this story of manna in the wilderness when we read the stories of the feeding of the thousands in Mark and John, where Jesus gives bread where there is none. We can also remember God's promises of manna when we celebrate communion, as we will in a few moments. When we participate in the Eucharist meal together, we declare as a community that broken and shared bread has more power for life than bread that is guarded and hoarded. We proclaim at this table that there is enough for everyone. This Exodus story calls all of us, both as individuals and as the collective church, to remember our relationship with God and to reflect on our relationship with manna and money, to consider what is enough, and to remember God's providence in our lives. This story of manna in the wilderness is an example of a mutual test of faith between God and the people, between God and us. God wants to see if the people will gather more than necessary, thereby preventing other people from being fed. But at the same time, the people test God to see if their needs will be provided for. And for us today, it is in Christ that God has passed the test of faith. So today, I leave you with these questions. Do we trust God's steadfast love and care? Will we be Christ's body for others? And do we trust enough to change our money narratives from hoarding to living with enough? Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, "All Who Hunger Gladly, Gather Gladly."
Thank you. The dinner table is a place where we all tell stories. We tell stories of growing up and falling in love and making mistakes, figuring it out. We tell stories that make us laugh, stories that make us cry, and stories that help us to remember. This table is no different. At this table, we tell stories about a God who loves us unconditionally. We tell stories about a man who fed the hungry, washed the feet of the disciples, and said, "This is my body for you." So friends, as you come to this table, bring your stories. Stories about who you are and who you want to be. Stories of shame and disappointment. Stories of fear and faith. Bring your money stories, your faith stories, your love and heartbreak stories. Bring them all. For no matter the narrative, God welcomes us at this table. You belong here. There is a seat saved for you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with the faithful of every time and place who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this juice, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Glorious God, pour down your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Holy God, as we leave this table, help us to remember in this moment. Help us remember that with you all are invited. Help us remember that with you there is a seat for everyone. Help us remember that with you there is enough food to go around, that even Judas was invited to the meal, and that there is manna in the wilderness. Help us remember so that as we go, we can build tables like this in the world. We need more tables like this in the world. Gratefully we pray. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer you a charge and a blessing. Hear the good news. God is doing a new thing. Refreshed and renewed by the waters that unite us to God and to each other, let us go into the world empowered by the Holy Spirit, following the way of Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our patient God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today and always. Amen.